Breakups don't just end relationships, they force decisions, big ones, and a lot of them can be financial. Especially if you're in that crunchy time of life, your 40s or 50s, when a long-term relationship ends that you probably made serious financial decisions around, now you're getting much closer to retirement, but have to ask questions like what to do with the house and how you can rebuild quick smart. And that housing decision is enormous for both lifestyle and money, your security, cash flow, and whether your money will actually support the life you want in the years ahead. So whether you buy the X out, downsize, or find a different solution entirely, the pressure is on. Well, welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week people working in the money world answer your questions to get the answers you need right now. Making Sense is proudly supported by Heartland Bank, a New Zealand bank here to help you make the most of your money. In the hot seat, Will White, Heartland Bank. Welcome back. Are you ready for the letter?
Sure, I'm Francis.
All right, here we go. Kia ora, Francis. I'm 49. My 10-year relationship has ended, and I'm stuck on whether to sell the house and split things with my ex-partner or whether I should buy them out. If I buy them out, I can do it, but it will be tight. If I don't buy them out, I won't be able to afford to buy a property like the one we own, currently together. It's a 3-bedroom house in a large section, and we have 2 dogs. I will just be able to afford a 2-bedroom duplex with no section. Ideally, I would rather not have flatmates, as I have a demanding job. I'm an introvert, so having my home be a space where I can decompress at the end of the day is important for my well-being. Honestly, I can't see myself making small talk with a flatmate after a tough day. But also, maybe it's something I should give some serious thought to. So what is the better financial decision? Buy them out? Sell and rent? Or sell and buy? Is there another financial decision that I haven't thought about? Thanks for any advice you can give me. So.
A lot there.
A lot there. Starting over in that sort of later life stage, the 40s and 50s, I feel like there's a little bit of a time crunch happening there, right? So what do you think are the financial considerations they need to be weighing up in this moment?
The most immediate one is probably the property decision, because I assume that's on a bit of a time stamp. You've got to decide one way or the other what you want to do. You know, fellow introvert here. Yeah, I wouldn't want to live with a housemate in my 40s or 50s either. So absolutely get where you're coming from that perspective. Also, how is the relationship between you and your ex? Is this going to be a transaction that can be done relatively easily, or are we all lawyered up on both sides? How much stress and pressure do you want to go through, even if it is financially possible? Do you want that emotional toll, or is it better to part ways and go and do something else? Only you can answer that question. If it's tight to do the transaction today and find the money each month in order to pay the mortgage, what does tight look like when interest rates look different? So if interest rates were to go up over the next couple of years, what does that mean to your monthly budget? Have you considered that? If you haven't, that's definitely something you need to consider. The dogs is not mentioned, but you know, are you keeping both of the dogs? Where are the pets going? Because again, that will play into your decision around a house and the space that you need. So they're all the things that you probably need to give some consideration to.
Yeah, and I think that the house is such an important consideration, right? Because it's both the financial and the lifestyle, as you've pulled out there. I mean, especially in this later stage, getting closer to retirement, how important is the house piece of this?
It's very important because it's shelter. You need somewhere to live. Again, at this stage of life, if you're going to be on your own, for the foreseeable future, putting the pets to one side for a minute, do you need a house of that size? Are you overstretching yourself for a size of a property that you actually don't need? Is it comfort? Is it you want to stay there because that's what you know and you don't want the stress of having to go somewhere else, which is completely understandable, by the way. It's just a question you should probably pose to yourself. Why is it that I do want to stay here as opposed to doing something else?
Yeah, I think that's actually as well, the point you made there about comfort is a really good point. I hadn't thought about this until as you said that, But I imagine with a 10-year relationship ending, there would be a certain amount of pull towards decisions that keep some form of what you've known, because that's turning your life on its head.
Yeah, when something as difficult as that's happened, what you can keep the same, you yearn to keep the same. So if you can have the creature comforts of the home you've lived in for many, many years, and you don't have to turn all that on its head, well, of course you want to do that. And that might be reason enough to determine you are going to stay where you are and you're going to try and make it work. But also, if comfort is what's pulling you towards that decision, maybe it's time to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, almost, get off the dance floor into the balcony, right? And actually assess yourself and go, what do I actually really need versus what I want? Because they're two different things. And just because you want it doesn't necessarily mean it's possible at this stage of life. Now, of course, if you sell, you're out of the property market. So then what? Buying back in, as you've alluded to, is going to be difficult. You're going to get a lot less for your money than you've currently got today. But it doesn't matter if you're going to financially screw yourself in order to do it. So if the budget's not been done, that's the place to start. As I said, factor in what, you know, two rate increases might look like over the next, no one knows what's going to happen, but you've got to factor it in. You've got to factor in, you know, CPI, so everything keeps going up. Does your salary go up by the same amount? The point around a tenant, I get that, but, you know, Airbnb, you can potentially make some income, and you're absolutely in charge around when you allow people to stay in your house. So you don't have someone there all the time, but if there's a spare room you can get some income from, hey, that's something you should probably consider.
That's a really good point, actually, that you maybe don't have to have the permanent flatmate situation. You can just have people at certain times, and then you get the recharge the rest of the time, but you've still got some extra money coming in.
Yeah, and actually you'll earn more on a per night basis doing that than you would by having tenants. And it's something I think a lot of people overlook.
Making Sense is proudly supported by Heartland Bank. If you're looking for specialist banking products, this is their area. They're a New Zealand bank which offers savings and deposit accounts, reverse mortgages, car loans, and rural lending. They're also the bank chosen by 26,600 Kiwi to unlock the value in their homes through a reverse mortgage, so they can stay in the place they love and enjoy a little more freedom in retirement. Heartland Bank's lending criteria, fees, and charges apply. Okay, so let's run through the options again and just make sure that we've covered them off. So she's identified to try and buy out the partner, to sell and downsize, or to try and buy out the partner and maybe either rent out a room or, as you've said, Airbnb a room. That's really it in terms of weighing things up, right?
I think that's the immediate decision. You've got to work out what to do. And again, not knowing kind of what the standard of the communication between you and your ex is, you might be on a time crunch. If you've got a bit more time, then take the time to make the decision that's right for you, I would say.
And I think the points that you've made about thinking about rates, insurance, if interest rates change, all of that stuff, if your income maybe will change, or that you don't want to like hinge everything on, I'll get a pay rise and it'll all be fine. But, you know, just factor these things in. I think that's a really good point, because if she's saying, you know, it'll be tight, but I think I can do it, how tight can those margins get, do you think, before it's dangerous? I mean, there's tight and then there's dangerous. How do we know the line?
Once you've crossed it. It is hard because there's so many variables that will just creep up on you that you just weren't expecting, which is where the buffer becomes so important. Now, what we're kind of hearing or inferring from the letter here is if I stay where I am, there is no buffer. I will be nudging up against that every single month. So it takes one car breakdown, one vet trip that was unexpected, and all of a sudden we're living on credit cards. Short term, that's okay, as long as you've got a plan to pay them off. You don't want to be at the point of not being able to live your life simply because you made a decision to stay in a place that has an emotional connection to you if you can't afford it. If you think there is an opportunity there to find a way to make it work and you would prefer to stay, stay. But don't do it at the expense of your overall well-being, because you're going to be going home to a house every night that you're stressed to the max about keeping. And all that emotional stability you wanted by staying in the house will have evaporated. So you have got to look at this quite coldly, and then apply logic to it and go, okay, what do I want versus what do I need? And probably the truth of those two things is in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So what financial trade-offs do you think should be on the table versus off the table in this situation?
Well, it's a good question. So everyone always has disposable spend that can always be cut back if you're kind of ruthless enough. The eating out, the subscriptions, you know, you can look at all that and make some conscious decisions. But what I wouldn't be doing is things like, well, you know, I won't have insurance, right? Because that's a cost that I can't really afford a month. If you're going to pay the mortgage every month, you need to protect the asset. So really think about where can you cut back. And then if you find yourself with a gap, that's maybe where the Airbnb conversation comes in. You don't want tenants. You're clear on that. You do your budget and you have a, you know, several hundred dollar a month shortfall. Well, you know, what's that on Airbnb in terms of income? Is it 2, 6, 9 nights a month that you might need to do with some consistency and all of a sudden you can cover your gap? Well, then you've just solved your problem.
Yeah, love it. Maybe find a flatmate who's a flight attendant or something.
Exactly right, yeah. Someone's there 2 days a month. Yeah, pays full rate.
I love the sideways thinking that we need. Thank you so much, Will White, Heartland Bank. Now, if you have any sort of question about money, send it through and we'll get our lovely experts in to help answer your question. It's ask@francescook.co.nz. Until next time, have a great day. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most situations. It's not individual financial advice. If you're after that, a financial advisor is always the best bet.